The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each one of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and all the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You may be seated. On the day of Pentecost, we always consider and see what our Lord teaches us about the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit can be described in one word, sanctification. And it's both in a broad and a narrow sense when we look at this word. In the broad sense, the Holy Spirit calls you to faith in Christ, saving you by the gospel, gathering you together into the church, and he gives you a new life. And in the narrow sense of the term sanctification, you see that the Holy Spirit produces in you a new life of good works, a new life of a new obedience to your God. It's all the work of God. So how does he do this? Well, listen to these words from the readings today from Acts and John. First, in the Acts of the Apostles, St. Luke writes, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And then Jesus says in John's Gospel, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So you have those things as you hear those words of the Holy Spirit preaching the gospel in the different languages. That's what the word for tongue means, language. And here then, as Jesus says, he's sending the Holy Spirit, and we've been hearing that the past few weeks. You hear those words as you gather here together, and you ask that good question, like good Lutherans, and like they did at the day of Pentecost, what does this mean? Well, the Holy Spirit is a preacher. And that's an incredibly important thing about how God shows us he works. And it's how he's always worked. God, the Holy Spirit, preaches. We have neither a spiritless word nor a wordless spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures are his very voice, for they are his very breath. He's breathed into these things, his own very breath, and men were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote these words of the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit has attached himself to the Word of God, and through this Word of God, he preaches. And the content of this preaching is what we've been hearing about these past few Sundays, leading up to this Sunday and really connecting and dovetailing into next Sunday with Trinity Sunday as well. He preaches repentance and forgiveness of sins. He preaches law and gospel. And not only that, but this is how he works through that same word. He works repentance. He produces that. He produces that in your life through the word. And he forgives as he delivers the salvation accomplished by Jesus. In those very words of your sins are forgiven, you have what your Lord has accomplished. So the Holy Spirit preaches. And you have Christ. You have his benefits. And really, it's that simple when it comes to knowing and understanding the Holy Spirit. And in some ways, the whole Christian faith. The Holy Spirit preaches, that's what he does, and how he does it through the Word of God. Now, we run into issues then when we forget this, or when we deny this, or when we reject this. And it's all kinds of problems that arise in the church and even in our own lives in Christ. Because the Holy Spirit isn't some power, some force, or some motivation. He isn't arrogant or self-promoting either. Rather, he's the paraclete, the one who calls you alongside of himself and to himself and gives you Christ. He's the one who says, don't look at me, look to the one who is crucified and risen for you. Look to Jesus, have what he has done for you, and here it is. And he's no skeptic either, as he takes what belongs to Jesus and hands it over to you. And in the scriptures and even in the sacraments, as the very promises of Jesus are attached to these visible elements, and through them, the Holy Spirit is at work, delivering to you Christ and salvation. The Holy Spirit doesn't produce doubt, but he gives comfort, he gives assurance, he gives confidence in and through the very means at which he's at work. He says, here, trust, know, this is what your Lord has, this is what he gives, and it's for you. But we are tempted to be swayed away from Christ. The temptation from the devil, the world, and our own fallen flesh is to want to look for someone else or something else and reject what our Lord teaches us. We want to replace the work of the Holy Spirit with the work of sinful men, to take the action out of God's doing and put it into our own selves. It's to replace then the certainty of the Holy Spirit with the doubt and speculation of the devil. So let's go back to that first reading from Genesis. The people all had one language. They were gathered together into one group. So what did they do? They decided to build a city and a tower. And that sounds innocent, and really it is when you first look at it, but it doesn't stop at that. We're told the reason they build themselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens is to make a name for themselves. They said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. So the people are trying to make their name great. They're trying to make this name be known around them. It's trying to ascend into heaven on their own and approach God on their own terms, with their own name. They built a false church upon this confession of themselves. This was their spirituality. It was individualistic. It was all about themselves, and it was all about calling upon their own name. Because sinful man likes to assert his will. The sinful man really likes to have things his own way. He likes to think, he acts how to put himself forward in a way which motivates, defines his existence, and how he lives according to what he thinks is best, what he wants, what he desires. And so they're asserting their will. They're trying to approach God on their own terms. So this was sinful, and it was a monument to their own fallen state. But what else does that reading from Genesis tell us? God saw this. He knew what was going on in this endeavor. The nature of our sin wants to think that God doesn't know what we do, what we think or say. It pushes God aside, pushes God out of our lives. It thinks that God is not active in our lives, or that he's just sitting up there in the heavens watching and saying, let's just see what happens and where this goes. And then when it is confronted, we try to hide from God. Adam and Eve hid from God among the trees in the garden. It's utterly foolish, but the absurdity of sin. Instead of listening to God, instead of living and loving what he commands, we build a life according to our own liking, and we want to put our name plastered all over it and say, look what I have done. But God sees this. And we heard, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. And so, for the sake of the people, because the Lord knew there was no amount of evil they could accomplish together. That's really what that Hebrew says there. It's not that there's nothing that they won't do. It's not like God saying, I don't want them to do these things because they can do great things. No, they're doing evil things. God doesn't want them to accomplish. There's no amount to the evil that they will do. So he comes down. He sees their handiwork as he had done with Adam and Eve. And God intervened. So the Lord dispersed them from over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. So their attempts at making a city, making a tower, making a name for themselves, using their own language, to their great shame and vice, was over. Where they were one group, there were now many. And both location and speech. Now, when Christ came into the world, he knew all of this about us. God was intervening just as he did at Babel, and as he did after the fall in the garden, as he did at Mount Sinai, as he did at the tabernacle, as he did through the wanderings in the wilderness, as he did through the exiles, as he did bringing them out of the exiles, as he did countless times through the prophets, the patriarchs. All of those were pointing to that fullness of time when God himself, Christ, was born of the Virgin Mary and lived on this earth. And here the Lord, whose very name, unlike ours, does save. And he did. He lived according to God's law, not for his sake, but for the sake of those whose name accomplishes all types of evil in their own flesh and the world around them. And Jesus built something. He built the church upon himself, who is the cornerstone that the builders rejected. His kingdom, which is not of this world, had come upon the people, and he preached to the people that salvation was at hand. Jesus lived perfectly, he preached perfectly, he died perfectly, he rose perfectly, he ascended perfectly, and now he rules and reigns in perfect glory. And all of this accomplished by Christ, God gives and delivers to you. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here at work as you hear his word. And you share this faith with the people at Pentecost who spoke all those different languages. The Holy Spirit has called you and gathered you into the church. And now there is unity found and created by God's word. And you are one body, the church. The apostles preached to the people, and Peter, after the reading today, preached a sermon to the people gathered. After this, we are told by St. Luke, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So within this body, within this church, constituted and known by God's word and sacraments, the Lord gathered his people together. He delivered to them what he had won, and there's a location where all of this happens. So Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, is the Holy Spirit doing what he does, what he's always done, preaching through the means of the word. And he's still doing it now, right in your own tongue, your own language. And across the world right now, people in their own language are hearing that same message of Christ. He's doing it, and you have it. And you have something in all of this. You have peace. Which is to say, your sin is forgiven, that you're righteous before the very throne of God. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." That peace that Jesus said, that's yours today. It's real. It's real peace. It's real forgiveness of sins. It's real life. It's real salvation. And not only that, but there's a confidence and a certainty in the peace of Jesus. And that's the wonderful thing you see at Pentecost as well. God is working in your life when you have his word and sacraments, and this is where you find him for you. And so you aren't scattered. You aren't tossed to and fro when it comes to the Christian faith. He doesn't leave you wondering whether you are his or if you have Christ. The gospel reading for Pentecost Eve last night, Jesus speaks about that you are not left as orphans either. No, you have him. And you don't find the gospel apart from where he is appointed to be. You're not left wondering. You're not left scratching your head. No, you have peace in all of this. The Holy Spirit is a preacher, and he sanctifies you. And what does that mean? You are a holy one. You are a saint. You are a child of God. And you know that with absolute certainty because he says it to you. And so the Holy Spirit, too, gathers you together as God's holy people. And you have the same language of the Scriptures. You have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Not dispersed like at Babel, but brought together. The Holy Spirit gathers you together. You look around you today, gathered as the people of God, and you see the very completion of God's work being done. So cling then to where the Holy Spirit is at work, where he's taught you he is to be found, and see your Lord who has accomplished all things for you. Listen to your Lord. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So don't doubt for one instant that you belong to God. Don't doubt for one instant that God is not at work in your life. Don't doubt for one instant that your Lord is not speaking to you this very day and giving to you Christ. Don't think he's found somewhere else than where he's promised to be. Don't think he's found in the wind, some coincidence when you found your car keys after looking for hours, or some other thing in creation. Those are all well and good. Don't go looking for him in rambling speech or impressive signs and wonders. The devil can do those things. No, go to where he is. He's a preacher. Go to his word. Find confidence in that. Trust in that. Even to your dying breath, know that your Lord has said to you that your sin is forgiven and you belong to him. And Christians hear his word and they keep it. Jesus teaches that loving him and keeping his word go together. There's no, "I love Jesus, but I just don't agree with what the Bible says." Because if that's your theology of who Jesus is, the Jesus you worship is a false god who happens to have the same name as the true God. And that's not the Holy Spirit. Christians hear the word of God. Christians keep the word of God. Christians treasure what Jesus teaches in both his law and gospel. Because be warned, the old foe wants nothing more than for you to search for and think you find the Holy Spirit apart from where he's promised to be. But know that the devil is a liar and that he's the father of lies. The devil, first of all, wants you not to hear his word, or when you do hear it, for it to go in one ear and out the other. The end of both is the same. But the Lord calls you as his people, who he has gathered together as the church, to listen to himself. Listen to the Holy Spirit and where he is found. Anything claiming to be of the Holy Spirit apart from his promised means of grace that he teaches in the Scriptures is of the devil himself. And the devil has been at this trick since he deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, wanting them to look for God apart from his word. Did God really say? He wanted them to find wisdom. He wanted them to find God apart from his word. But don't listen to Satan and where he would have you go, and where he would have your Christian faith be constantly searching and doubting. Don't build your foundation Don't build your tower and your city in arrogance and go running to the church of Babel, built on the works, the thoughts, and the name of man. Cast aside your sin and go running to find your dwelling and confidence where the Holy Spirit has called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified you by the gospel. And so here's the thing in all of this too, on the day of Pentecost. You see that the burden of your salvation has been lifted. It's not on you. And God's peace is yours. God has created you. God has redeemed you. And he is the one who sanctifies you. All of these things are by his grace alone. And it's given freely and fully. And so the Holy Spirit creates, sustains you, and brings you into the true church, which is not Babel, but Mount Zion. And though the languages may be different, the faith is the same as God's word. The apostles' doctrine is faithfully taught. The sacraments are rightly administered according to the institution of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is doing wondrous things through very ordinary means. And even the Holy Spirit has worked the miracle in your life that you believe in Jesus Christ, that you call him Lord. For no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but he continues to guard and keep you in the faith. And so rejoice this day of Pentecost in the peace that you have as the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all your sins. Your Savior speaks his kind voice to you, and he gives you his peace as the Holy Spirit preaches, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So God's word is never preached in vain, but accomplishes the purposes for which he sends it. That's your salvation given to you. So on this day of Pentecost, thanks be to God who does such wondrous things, and that he does them for you. Thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit, your Lord, for his work among you as a preacher, sanctifying you in this life in the church, and for the confidence you have in all of his work. Rest easy in the work of the Holy Spirit. Rest easy and be at peace, knowing that Christ is yours and you are his. Yours is eternal life as you are a saint here, gathered into the church on earth, and on the day when you rise and go from here into glory, that is the life to come. And on that glorious day, you will see the life of eternal joy and peace as you will be with Christ and all the saints, gathered in one place, with one voice, with one song, to the Lamb and his city, and to the honor of his saving name. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.